Post your next job at Indeed.com/hire and try skills tests for free. Terms and conditions apply.
This is the busiest time of the year in the city, but the holidays wait for no one. So I'm glad I have USPS to get presents to my nephews in time, traffic jams or not.
You don't see many people when you live way out here. But even on snowy days, I can rely on my carrier, Donna, to show up.
Wherever you call home, the United States Postal Service goes the extra mile to bring your holidays home. Learn more at usps.com/season. And with informed delivery notifications, get a digital preview of your mail before it arrives. United States Postal Service. Priority you.
Excuse me, Captain. This is your wake-up call from the new TracFone Wireless.
What's that now?
What if you had to fly this plane while sitting back in the cabin?
I wouldn't have any control.
Well, that's what it's like going with some wireless companies, but TracFone Wireless gives you control. Get unlimited talk and text on America's best 4G LTE network starting at $20 a month, no contract. Plus, unlimited carryover data with active service.
That's cool, but how'd you get in my cockpit?
This is your wake-up call, people. The new TracFone Wireless. Now you're in control.
Available at major retailers. See terms and conditions at TracFone.com.
This is Tiki Barber with a CBS Sports Minute sponsored by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. The road to the Super Bowl in the AFC, for now, goes through Baltimore. This is the case after the Ravens bested the visiting San Francisco 49ers over the weekend in a soggy, hard-fought game. Coincidingly, the New England Patriots lost in convincing fashion to the Houston Texans. The Ravens, who had their way earlier in the season with the Pats, are the clear favorite in the conference. But the larger story is what's happening with the almighty Patriots and their goat of a quarterback. I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet and declare Brady done, but the constant shuffle of wide receivers is starting to show. The Pats have worn for years, in part because everyone seems to be on the same page, and for the first time in it feels like a decade plus, the Pats are in a battle for consistency that every other team has had to deal with. Will they be able to overcome it? Only the last month of the season will tell. I'm Tiki Barber.
Update your outdated appliances and save big by shopping cyber deals at Lowe's.com. Now get up to 40% off select appliance special values, like a Samsung stainless steel French door refrigerator for just $9.99, saving you $1,000. Up to 40% off also includes savings on washers, dryers, ranges, dishwashers, and more. Whatever you need to get your home ready for the holidays and holiday guests, shop these cyber deals and more. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 12/5, U.S. only.
Napa Know How.
Just in time for the holidays, select Craftsman tools are now available at Napa. Celebrate with a Craftsman 20-volt cordless impact wrench kit for just $149.99. It's the perfect gift for everyone in your list, even you. So get great savings on select Craftsman tools, now available at your local Napa store. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer ends 12/31/19.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
Like to tweet? Like to read tweets? Read ours. We tweet all the time. Follow us on Twitter at 790 The Ticket.
When it's time to party, we will party hard.
Good evening, South Florida, North Florida, West Florida. We do not acknowledge Central Florida on this show, but we do welcome Alex Dono to the show.
Apparently, what's going on, man?
The headphones are wacky, huh?
Yeah, these headphones don't work. I love how I'm an alleged radio professional, and I didn't bring headphones with me to a radio show.
That's me 90% of the shows.
Like there's a couple pros.
There's headphones around. There's seven radio stations, right? Somebody's got headphones, right?
Somebody's got some that work. Please help me out with some headphones.
I don't
want to
bring my own, Vlad.
Bring your own.
There's a radio station. There should be headphones here.
No, that way you don't have to get anybody's disease or anybody's germs or anything like that.
Well, it's not like anybody prevents their own cells from bringing in disease or anything else. So I might as well just. Because I used those headphones yesterday for the Dolphin show, and they kind of worked at some angles.
You got to plug them in just right.
Right, right. So. Anyways, we got Alex Dono on the show today. I think we'll be on the air till 7:30. None of us really know, right? Like, none of us are really sure of the schedule. We just all kind of think we're on the air till 7:30. I haven't checked the schedule since it was originally sent to me. So.
How about we'll just stay on until someone tells us not to be on?
Right,
anymore.
Right. We'll do the Hockman and Crowder one and a half hour show with no commercials, like
yes.
They did. So that was fantastic radio, by the way. Like, they could not go to break. They couldn't play any music. They couldn't play anything from the system. They could take phone calls. But no commercials, no music, no nothing.
The same thing happened to us when we were doing the final hour of pregame for Miami, Florida State, which no matter how bad the teams are, that's kind of a big game, right? But you know what? Maybe the listeners got what they wanted because we did the final hour of Miami FSU pregame commercial free, baby.
That's definitely what the listeners want, you know. we'll be on the air till about 7:30. You guys can text in the show 67974. A lot of stuff to get into. We're gonna have Ira Windeman at 7 o'clock to recap what's going on with the Miami Heat as they're on the road for three straight games. They got off to a good start yesterday, although it was a little shaky. But I would consider 2-1 a successful road trip, right?
Yeah, no question. And yeah, they got off to a shaky start yesterday, but it was kind of nice to see how that group would handle a close game, you know, with Justice and Jimmy Butler together with a close game that came down to big shots and big free throws down the stretch, because we've seen the blowouts on both sides of the coin.
Right.
I think we need to see tests like what we saw last night.
Yeah, we need to see them tested and how they're going to perform at the end of a game. I think they won a 10-0 run to close the game. I mean, that and won by Goran Dragic. Holy moly, that was a huge play. And
I'm doing
the Dolphins show, and I'm watching the play like, ooh. You know, when you can't react to it because it's not a regular sports show. So lots to get into, obviously, with the Hurricanes and Dolphins. But before we do that, I want to be responsible for once and get to our headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
I usually hit that bet at like 6:14. So.
Yeah, the last couple times I've done shows here, and actually Vlad has worked most of those shows, I can get to like 14, 15 without even hitting the headlines.
Right. I'm like, oh, yeah. Or a lot of times I'll just hit it and not even do headlines. I'm like, let me just hit this because I don't really care about doing headlines. But there are some newsworthy headlines today. Obviously, recapping what happened this weekend, Florida Panthers got a nice win, 3-0 against, was it Nashville?
Mm-hmm.
The Miami Heat, big win yesterday on the road against the Brooklyn Nets. Any game on the road is a big game. Okay, I don't care. You can blow out the Cleveland Cavaliers at home, but going on the road is always difficult, and now the Heat have two more games tomorrow night against, is it Boston tomorrow night?
Ooh, I believe so.
I think it's Boston tomorrow and then Toronto on Wednesday.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Some sort of other combination of those two games. The Miami Hurricanes. Ooh, man. This is what happened, Alexano. They didn't care anymore.
And just so people know, because I know a lot of fans are wondering what happens to the coaches, what's going on. Just so you know, right now, Manny Diaz out on the recruiting trail, Dan Enos, Blake Baker out on the recruiting trail. So I don't see any big changes happening. And just to make this 1,000% clear, any changes that are made, it's not going to be the head coach, right? Blake James has already made that, I think, as clear as can be. They're not making a change at head coach. And I still, even after the second straight debacle, because FIU was a debacle, Duke was a debacle, I still believe that you've got to give Manny Diaz a chance to fix this before you throw the axe at his head.
I agree.
But I think part of Manny Diaz fixing it might involve making some philosophy tweaks and possibly some coaching changes under him. It's his job to make this right.
No, I agree with you. I don't know how I feel about the coaching staff yet. I have been one of the voices to defend the coaching staff this season. You know, obviously I'm out there at some of the practices. I see a lot more than some people see. Everybody's, oh, where's Greg Rousseau at the beginning of the season? Greg Rousseau was a train wreck in training camp. He was awful. Like, Scott Patchen 1,000% deserved that starting job, and Greg Rousseau deserved the 10 snaps a game he got until he could finally prove it, and that's what he started to do as the season went on. That's coaching right there. We don't talk about the positives, and I realize why, because we're losing games that we shouldn't be losing, right? But you can't kick a 25-yard field goal. Like,
yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Wait. And it's funny because I'm not going to sit here and sugarcoat a very disappointing season, because you certainly had no business losing to FIU, to Duke, and to Georgia Tech. Right? Those are awful teams. But you also have to you have to kind of remember and look back that three or four of Miami's six losses would not have been losses if you had an even semi-competent kicker.
Right.
So there's two sides to that.
Even if they won that game, it'd be a win like Central Michigan, right?
Yeah.
Well,
right.
But it's so much better when there's a W instead of an L next to the result. and we could still have the dialogue of the things that are going wrong. It just looks so much better and feels so much better when you're 9-3 as opposed to 6-6. And what happened with Duke, Alex Dono, was they just, like, I'm going to be straight up honest with you. Like, they just did not care anymore.
Which is the most disappointing thing.
I hate to say that, but who wanted that game more, man?
Duke.
Thank you.
Duke.
Thank you.
That was their bowl game.
Like, clearly Miami is more talented than Duke, but, like, it's 6-5, man. Like, I'm having this discussion with Brian Monroe and Rashad Butler, right? And I put on Twitter, I said, if I'm Shaq Quarterman or I'm Michael Pinckney, I am not playing in a bowl game. And they're like, what do you mean? You can't do that. Then I'm like, look, and nobody knows. Everybody only knows about, you know, Christian McCaffrey and Joey Bosa. And those, there are people all up and down the draft.
I mean, Gerald Willis didn't play in the bowl game last year.
Right. It happened, and that was one where probably it might have hurt him a little bit.
Yeah.
There are cases in every single round of the draft, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and undrafted players that didn't play in their bowl game. It's the reality of the situation nowadays. A 6-6 bowl game means nothing.
Yeah, I think that, and I'm still happy that they're in a bowl game for two major reasons, right? Reason number one being, I think it is important for still a relatively new coaching staff and a younger group to get those extra 10, 12 practices. So that's big because you don't get those. If you're not bowl eligible, you're not bowl selected, you've already had your last practice this year. So I think that is important. People underestimate that. And the other thing, and it ties into the youth, to what you're saying, if players like Shaq and Pinckney do decide not to play in the bowl game, and knowing the two of them, I probably think that they will, but there may be some other seniors and some other draft-eligible guys who won't. But needless to say, for any upperclassmen who decide not to play in the bowl game, that does give an opportunity to a freshman and sophomore, maybe even some guys like a Lorenzo Lingard, for example, who is going to use a red shirt this year but can still play in another game without losing the red shirt. So you kind of have to look at this as a Miami fan. If you end up playing like a Louisiana Monroe in Shreveport, yeah, that's certainly not where you want to be, but at least watch to see what some of your younger players can do, because you may be watching guys who are foundational pieces of this team for the next 3 years.
Yeah, speaking of players who might not play the bowl game, Trayvon Hill is expected to not play in the bowl game.
I did see that earlier today. Yeah.
And that, like, I sent that to Monroe and Rashad. I was like, told you. Like,
yeah,
there's no reason to play. And look, I get it, you're a 6th or 7th round pick, but I'll take my chances at the Senior Bowl and I'll take my chances at the Combine and the tape that I already have, as opposed to a 6-6 bowl game. It's the same case I made for a couple years ago when Auburn's playing UCF in the bowl game. Auburn, on the verge of the college football playoff, has to settle for UCF.
Yep.
You think Auburn cares about that game? You think the players on Auburn, the 5 or 6 players who are going to be drafted in the top 100 picks, are going, hey, let me put it all out there on the line?
Well, maybe if somebody told them it was a national championship game.
Correct. Yeah. Nobody told
them. They didn't get that memo. Only UCF got that memo.
Nobody told them that till after the fact, as a matter of fact. But we'll get more into that, Dono. The Miami Dolphins, I mean, just, what are we doing?
Well, we're not tanking anymore.
It is such a weird dichotomy. Like, I feel like Jekyll and Hyde on Sunday, because I'm like, yay, Devontae Parker. Damn it. Why did you make that catch? Touchdown. No. Like, I don't know what to do with myself as a fan.
I got
to
admit, you know? I wanted the dub because I despise Eagles fans.
I don't care about Eagles fans, man.
I do care about Eagles
fans. I wanted the L because the Bengals and the Redskins for the first, like, you know,
they both won.
The blood moon, man. The blood moon came out yesterday, and the Miami Dolphins, like, come on, man. But it was a fun win.
I mean, I'm not nearly as hardcore tank as I was about a month ago, because Tongo Vailoa's injury changed a lot of that for me. And I also think that maybe even the front office is looking at it and saying that, hey, if we're worried about that kid's long-term health, talking about Tua, and he's probably not even the number one overall draft pick anymore, at this point, whatever happens, happens to wrap up the season. I am, though, Mr. Duarte, I am one of those people who, yeah, despite the fact that I was in on the tank because the franchise was clearly in on the tank, I'm happy to see Brian Flores, I think, overachieving. Like, I know that he has some detractors. I know that Omar Kelly would try to tell you it's not really Brian Flores' success. I do see Brian Flores doing a great job, he and his staff, coaching their asses off. So even though this team might end up with 4 or 5 wins by the time it's all said and done, and maybe they have the 7th overall pick instead of the 1st overall pick, it does make me feel pretty good as a Dolphin fan to know it looks like we may have actually found something special in a coaching staff.
Well, piggybacking off of that, today it was announced that Eric Rowe was signed to a contract extension, and I'm happy for Eric Rowe, man.
Me
this
too.
Is a guy who was a second-round pick who was benched at in the first game of the season last year. Good dude, nice guy. Really clutch for Miami this year, playing different positions, not bitching about it like Minkah Fitzpatrick, and he has earned himself a three-year extension worth up to $18 million, $7 million in guaranteed money. He moved from cornerback to safety after injuries to guys like Rashad Jones and Bobby McCain. He has been our tight end blanketer. Like, you didn't hear Zach Ertz's name called a bunch yesterday. And a lot of that is due to Eric Rowe, so congratulations to him. And this is the precursor to free agency. Players who fit the system and who don't break the bank. That's what free agency is going to be like coming up. I know they got a lot of money, but they're not going to break the bank on one or two guys. They're going to make these sound, solid, safe investments. How's that for alliteration? $7 million guaranteed for a guy who fits your system and does it well. Like that's what the Miami Dolphins are looking for.
You hit the nail on the head. In the old days, and I don't mean like the really old days. I mean like 5-6 years ago, when he had $120 million to spend in free agency, Stephen Ross is looking to spend that on basically two guys. Like that used to be the way. Get me the flashy piece. Get me the Mike Wallace. Get the Ndamukong Suh. Let's make some headlines in South Florida. Let's try and build around, you know, one or two really flashy, expensive foundational pieces. But I think the biggest shift, the biggest paradigm shift we've seen with the way the Dolphins run their business has been the way Stephen Ross approaches things. Because if you had told me a little over a year ago that Stephen Ross would be on board for a potentially long, painful rebuild where you shed all of your salary, you cut a lot of your better, more expensive players, you know, people can call it tanking, call it whatever, but that sort of rebuild was something I never thought was in Stephen Ross's DNA because he was always in win-now mode. And so part of that paradigm shift for Stephen Ross is said, you know what? Even if I find myself in a situation where I'm $120 million under the salary cap, I'm not going to spend that on, you know, one offensive player or one defensive player the way we used to do it. I'm going to spend it on 7, 8, 9 guys that can really help this team, and I'm going to spread it out. I think that's the way they look to do it.
Yeah, and this was a precursor to it here. We got to get to a break here, Alex. On the other side, I'm going to tell you why I am not extremely worried about where the Dolphins stand in terms of the draft pick, because I did a little research and I feel like I've got some good information. We'll do that on the other side. And also, there's going to be in about 15 minutes a state of emergency in Broward County. We'll get to that next year on 790 The Ticket. Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte and Alex Dono taking you up until 7:30. We think it's 7:30. We don't really know. Nobody really knows.
I believe it at 7:30 no matter what.
Yeah, it's 7:30.
7:30, because then we got, what, Monday Night Football?
We have Monday Night
Football. I need a nice game from Russell Wilson, and I'll have a first-round bye. I'll be the number one seed.
Okay.
I'll be the number one seed.
That Sunday night game was Cracker Jack.
Yeah, I had the Patriots D. So it's one of those things, like, I thought about switching them out, because you know they're going to have a rough game here or there. And it's like, you know, they've done so well the whole season.
I mean, I committed the cardinal sin of outsmarting myself. And I was giving Vlad crap during the commercial because I overthought it. Let me pick up the Jets defense for this week because they're going against the Cincinnati Bengals. So how bad could that be? It seemed like a good idea, right?
I actually did pick them up, and then I dropped them before the game to have the extra roster spot. I almost started Dallas's defense against the Bills at home.
Yeah, that would have been so
that
good.
One, I would, like, as the game was unfolding, I'm like, oh, thank God. Dodged the bullet. Although I probably would have gotten another point or two. Anyways, nobody cares about our fantasy teams. 67974 is where you can text in the show. It's brought to you by Kendall of Toyota and Wes Kendall of Toyota. So look, I was in the Dolphins post game show yesterday, and let me tell you why I think it's like, let's say hypothetically the Dolphins won out, or even won one more game, or I'm sorry, lost out, I should say, not won out. They'd be in a terrible position if they won out.
Yeah, what would they be if they won out? 7-9?
7-9. Exactly where we've been for 10 years, right?
Which would just go to show you, no matter what they do, they're just destined to be 7-9.
Right. So I took a look at the previous years, like how the teams at the bottom of the top of the draft order ended their seasons, right? first of all, remember when the Dolphins won their first game? Everyone's like, they ruined it.
Yeah.
They can't even tank. Right. What I said after that show was, this will work itself out. The Dolphins, Giants, Jets, and the Bengals all kind of play each other, yeah. right? Like, the Dolphins play the Bengals. The Dolphins play the Jets again. The Dolphins play the Giants. The Giants play the Dolphins. The Giants play the Jets. Like, they all play each other. So just relax. It'll work itself out. I had no idea the Falcons would win three games. The Jets would win three games. That's all great. That's all fine and dandy. But, like, I go to last year. I pull up the standings, right? Number one pick in the draft, 3-13, mm-hmm. which is where the Dolphins could potentially finish. So not saying the Dolphins will get the first pick. But my overall point, I'm going to go over a few more of these years, is it is very rare that a team only wins one game the entire season. Yeah. It's only happened two times the last decade. So everybody who's losing their bleep after the Dolphins won their first, it's like, calm down. Calm down. Only two times in the last decade has a single team only won one game or less, right? Last year, 3-13, got you the number one pick. 4-12, got you the number two, three, or four picks. So if the Dolphins hypothetically win another game, they should still be in line for a top four or five pick, right? Which is where you want to end up.
Yeah.
You want to be top five. If you're 7 or 8, this was all for naught, right?
Especially since the best player in this draft doesn't look like he's a quarterback, because I'm going to go Chase Young as the best player in this draft, and then it's kind of 1A, 1B between Chase Young and Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. And I maintain that you don't, quote-unquote, tank to get a pass rusher. Like, you tank for a quarterback. So if the Dolphins are either no longer tanking or they're no longer successfully tanking because they've already won three games, they're not going to have the number one pick. I think the situation, in a way, could work itself out. And also, you know, I hate to bring up old wounds, but it's not as if we really fully trust the powers that be who draft players for the Dolphins to get it 100% right every time, right? Like, so it's not as if we imagine that having the highest possible draft pick will guarantee that Chris Greer and the brain trust hit it out of the park and get the right guy at number one or number two overall. At this point, I just have to sit back and say, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. So I go to other seasons, right? Obviously, 2017 is kind of the exception here because you have the 0-16 Cleveland Browns.
Right. Browns are going to Browns.
But the number two pick, 3-13.
Okay.
Number 3 and 4 picks, two teams at 4-12. So same thing as last year. The numbers 1 through 4 had 4 or less wins on the regular season, right? Which is where the Dolphins would be if they won one more game. 2016, the year prior to that, 1-15, that was the Cleveland Browns, 2-14.
It's almost always the Cleveland Browns. You notice that pattern?
They're the exception to the rule. 2-14 was the number two pick. And then again, 3-13, 3-4, there was 1 4-12 team, the Rams, at pick number 5. Okay? So, again, 4 wins, top 5 pick. Let's do one more season if my computer wants to actually like do what I'm telling it to do. Year before that, 2015, top pick in the draft, the Tennessee Titans, 3-13. Huh. The second pick in the draft, the Cleveland Browns, 3-13. They may not sound familiar because they both traded out of that pick to the Rams and Eagles.
That's right. Yeah.
For Carson Wentz and Jared Goff. So, again, 3 wins, first and second pick. 4 wins got you to the number 3 and 4 picks, went to the Dallas Cowboys and San Diego Chargers. So, 5 years of track record shows you 4 wins just about gets you a top 5 pick, which is where we want to be, okay? Obviously, I'd like to have number 1 or number 2, but let's be realistic. We already have 3 wins. We'd have to lose out and have some momentous luck to get that number 1 pick at this point, right? The other thing that's annoying, Dono, is that these other damn draft picks for the Dolphins are now in the mid-20s. Like,
yeah,
the Pittsburgh Steelers,
I know.
Damn you, Mike Tomlin. You are a freaking awesome coach. Because the Pittsburgh Steelers are somehow 7-5 with their fourth quarterback, man. Their fourth quarterback of the season. Not Ben Roethlisberger, not Josh Dobbs, not Mason Rudolph. Some guy named Hodges, who I never heard of before. They're winning games with this guy. And Minkah Fitzpatrick.
And the Houston Texans just beat the Patriots 30-4.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to admit something, that when I was watching Sunday Night Football last night, not even once did the thought pass through my head that, hey, I'd like to see the Texans lose tonight because it'd be slightly better for the Dolphins draft. I just wanted to watch them beat the Patriots. Like I wanted to watch Tom Brady start to look a little bit closer to his 42 years of age. I wanted to watch now the Baltimore Ravens become the team that controls their own destiny in the AFC. I know a lot of Dolphin fans do this mental gymnastics throughout the year, you know, with, oh, this is, we need to lose, we need these other teams to lose. It just, it starts to break my brain after a while. And at a certain point, things like that that you cannot control, Pittsburgh Steelers winning or losing games, Houston Texans winning or losing games, you just have to sit back and enjoy the ride. And if I have to sacrifice my tanking philosophy to watch the Dolphins beat the Eagles when their fans infested my stadium and watch the Houston Texans beat the Patriots, sometimes you just have to sit back and enjoy the football.
Did feel good that Manny Chang lost.
Thank you.
After his damn fake FIU crampers.
At least the Eagles didn't fake any cramps in that game.
Oh, my God, man. Unbelievable. Dono, it's... something really crazy is about to go down. Vlad, sound the alarm. Sound the alarm. There's a state of emergency in Broward County.
What?
Right now.
What?
At 6:30.
Why? Why?
Temperatures are projected to reach the 40s and 50s.
Whoa!
Tomorrow morning.
Oh!
And Broward County has declared a state of emergency.
Y'all
at 6:30 p.m.
Y'all saw.
That's it.
So it's going to snow then, huh? Blizzard coming.
Ground the planes. No school tomorrow. No work tomorrow. We're just going to run automation. Ed, you still have to be here because you're Ed and you always work. But that's it.
You better hope the heat doesn't break in here.
State of emergency.
Because it's going to get to like 49 degrees.
Yeah,
state of emergency.
Yeah.
Apparently, oh, my God. We are so soft.
Apparently, it's going to – was that just like a one alarm off there? Like
and by the way, my favorite thing, when the temperatures in these parts get to like 49, 50 degrees, I love how people immediately bust out the Gore-Tex. Like they start dressing like Eskimos. It's like the winter wear in South Florida. The only clothes people own are either – T-shirts and shorts and flip-flops, or the other extreme, where it looks like they're on an Antarctic expedition. So I am so looking forward to, you know, when I take my kid to daycare tomorrow. I guess I have to bundle my kid up tomorrow. That's going to be a pain in the ass. He's got, like, one jacket.
Do you own
pair of pants.
A scarf?
I don't. Actually, I do own – I own a soccer scarf. I do own one scarf. I own an Inter Milan scarf. I'm going to have to bust it out tomorrow for these frigid temperatures. But I cannot wait when I leave the house and I see people wearing the super thick coats and the scarves and they're wearing the Ugg boots and the ski pants. I cannot wait to see the way we overreact when it's going to be like 53 degrees at 9 a.m.
It says when we walk out of the studio, Dono, it's going to be under 70 degrees, man.
Under 70. And state of emergency in Dade County.
I'm not prepared for this, man. I'm in just one layer up top, one layer down below.
Oh, man.
What do we got? 59 degrees at 1 in the morning. When I wake up tomorrow at 4:30 a.m., it will be 55 degrees.
I mean, in all seriousness, though,
that's cold.
I appreciate the fact when we do get into the 50s and the 40s in December because it starts to feel like holiday weather. Because there are some years, I think even like last year, it didn't ever get cold until
like
maybe
January.
Yeah, January. Yeah. So like it does because, I mean, one of the drawbacks of living in paradise is you can go through an entire holiday season and it doesn't dip below 75
right.
degrees. And it doesn't really feel like Christmas at that point.
Well, even when it gets to this, like, you know, by noon, it'll be like 75. Again,
absolutely.
Which is still
yeah.
nice, but
yeah,
it's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
you know, that kind of cold. So.
Yeah.
All right, state of emergency, everybody. Stay inside.
Stay safe out
yeah,
there.
Put the shutters up. No school tomorrow for the kids. It's a snow day.
Get the fireplace ready
right,
to go.
Right, right, right. You know, be safe out there. And, you know, hug your kids tightly before you send them to
yeah,
bed.
Yeah, I do. And one thing, like, I'm sure someday you'll have kids. One of the hardest
yeah.
thing.
I probably have a whole bunch I don't know about.
Well, I've got the one that I know about. And, like, he's, like, too, like, young to, like, tell me what's wrong. So I'm always worried that, like, on a morning like tomorrow, I'm not really going to know how cold he is.
Right.
And sometimes when I take him out to play at the park when it's 100 degrees, is this kid going to be dehydrated? Is he getting sunburned?
Right.
Is he getting heat stroke? So I do have
a dog. I guess I can relate.
Yeah, you can pretty.
The dog can communicate. I'm like, are you okay, buddy? Okay.
But like, I am a firm believer in parenting by trial and error. So I just hope all goes well tomorrow, and I bundle the kid
I'm
up.
Pretty
and
sure
up.
That's how everybody does it. The first go around, right?
Nah, I mean, my wife reads books. I haven't read a single page of any of the books she brought.
Like, yeah, I read that. I read that. Oh, it was fascinating.
I did that a lot. Yeah. Before he was born, she had a reading list for me. It was like I was like a kid. Like when they give you the summer reading list, she had a whole reading list for me. I read like 3 pages.
I always love this subject before we get to break. This is a constant subject on my show and the plethora of different people I host shows with, and I've never asked you this, but what month was your child born?
February.
Okay. So February. So February is the Super Bowl. I always relate it to sports.
Oh.
February is the Super Bowl. It's the middle of the heat season. Spring training is right around the corner. And the NCAA is heating up, and it's the middle. Not a good month to have a baby. Not a good month to have a baby.
I mean, as far as I was concerned, I don't think there was ever a great month because I just did not feel ready to have a kid. Still don't.
Well,
it's been
almost
2 years.
Sports calendar-wise,
sports calendar-wise. No, you're right. It was after the Super Bowl, at least. So it was late February.
I feel like this is always hard for me to answer because I can always find a reason why not to have, like, I feel obviously the best time is like June, July, right?
Yeah, you're right around the time around the All-Star break in baseball.
But then you have a toddler when it's preseason football.
Yeah.
You know, like, at least be 6 months years old so I can leave you in daycare or something, right?
Yeah, I remember when Ryan Tannehill, how dare I speak his name, when he had
Ryan Tannehill, the god.
he's looking like that recently, yeah. But no, like Ryan Tannehill, his first child was born, like, either the day of or the day before training camp started that year, which you could say, it's not the best time.
Well, how about Jimmy Butler?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jimmy Butler.
Come on, man. Plan a little bit better, man.
He took a longer paternity leave than I did, that guy.
Plan a little bit better, right? Like, how about we not plan for a baby at the end of October? That'd be a genius idea. You're only a basketball player.
I think there's maybe a few things you don't know about the world that there's not always a whole lot of planning that goes into
I'm just
saying.
Hey, plan better, okay? Plan better. Your job starts in October.
Not always a whole lot of planning that goes into that.
You had 6 months to have a baby in between there. You got to plan a little bit better, okay?
I got to have a chat with you during the break. kind of explain how this all goes down.
Nobody's ever taught me about this. Let's do that. Let's do that now. We'll be back here on 790 The Ticket. Back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte, Alex Dono. We got to come up with a name for the show. That's also one of my things, Dono, is every person I host the show with, we come up with a name. So,
I noticed that.
So with
what
when
about
I
the double D's.
Oh, that's not bad.
That is good.
It's a marketing whiz over there.
Jeez, Vlad, that was quick.
Double D's. I like
that. Oh, my God.
We were going to do a whole segment on that. It took that guy all of 5 seconds to come up with.
Wow, that was good. Work by Vlad. Oh, my God. Let me tell you some of the names of the shows we got. When I host with Amber, it's the A to Z Sports Show.
I like it.
Amber and Zach. With Brian Monroe, it's the Slide into the DM Show, Duarte Monroe.
I like that.
I don't really have one with Rashad.
Yeah, I noticed that the last time I did a show with Monroe, somebody listening must have stolen that from you because they, on Twitter, they started calling me and Monroe the DM show, but I didn't realize it was taken already.
It's taken. It's trademarked. You got to come up with your own.
I didn't come up with it, bro. I'm just telling. I'm just, don't shoot the messenger. Somebody threw that at me. I didn't know it was your trademark.
When it's me, Rashad, and Brian, we call it the Roundtable Show.
I like it.
I had one pitched and... Vlad, see if you can go to my show page with all the sound, because that sound might be up there. But I did a show with Zaslo and Amber one day. Yeah, there it is at the bottom right. I want you to play this in just a second. I did a show with Zaslo and Amber one day, and I wanted to call the name of the show the Zaz Show for several reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Zach, Amber, and Zaslo. Spell Zaz.
So it's perfect.
Plus, it's also Zaz. Right? It makes sense.
And let me guess, he didn't like it.
No, he didn't like it. So then karma hit, and he went to break like this.
We'll continue this, but coming up next, we'll get you caught up on some things you might have missed. Zach and Amber, that's next.
Totally forgot his own name.
I didn't notice that at first. So he called himself Zach. He
totally forgot his own name.
Oh, my God.
I said, that's karma. That's what you get for shooting down my idea. So
called himself Zach. Hey, he took to it so much he just wanted to give you the driver's seat of the show.
Correct.
There that show really loves you, man.
Why?
Amber.
Oh, yeah. That's. I can't believe we never got that audio, man.
What happened there?
You did get the audio.
Is it like, is it saved somewhere?
No, you had it. You just played it.
Oh, I
on your IG.
I went on radio.com rewind and got it. Like, I didn't save the audio, you know. Basically, Amber admitted to listening to my show when she takes a bubble bath.
That's very interesting.
Yeah, so you and I could be playing in Amber Wilson's bubble bath right now.
I like to think we're playing in bubble baths all across America.
You know, and again, I filled in on the Zaslow show last week, and I was like, I take a bath. Like, I take Epsom salt bath. There's a reason for it. I don't take a bubble bath. You know, I don't sit there with a candle and, like, a bottle of wine. I soak in it, and every once in a while in an ice bath, which is absolutely terrible. But I took every once in a while I take a bath. I gotta soak the muscles, man.
Guilty pleasure. I do the same thing because it's a. I usually take showers just out of the convenience of it, but it is kind of a nice lazy man solution sometimes just to get in the bath. But I also realize that it's a very ineffective way to clean yourself because you're sitting and stewing in the same dirt that you're trying to wash off your body in the first place. It feels good. I don't think it's very effective.
Well, I'm one of those that will open the drain. And then refill the water.
So you're just wasting a ton of water, basically.
I mean, just as much as a shower.
I don't depending know
on
about
how long,
that.
Depending on how long you shower.
I get in and out very quick. Okay. I you know, sometimes I miss a few crucial spots, but I get in and out.
Yeah, man. Like, apparently Amber listens to the show when she's in the bubble bath. She admitted it on the show.
With the candles lit. She got a little smooth jazz, like, playing behind us.
Yeah, so that was an ego boost, right? That was an ego boost if I've ever gotten
you
one.
Take the W's when you can get them, man.
I will. So, listen, we're going to talk to Ira Winderman here in about 15 minutes. After we go to break, we'll get your headlines. But before we go to break, just wanted to kind of get into this real quick because, Alex, the Heat are going to have to integrate Dion Waiters into this rotation at some point. Definitely we'll ask Ira about that on the other side. He is no longer suspended. He is with the team. He wasn't active yesterday. By the way, came out just recently that Goran Dragic will be out tomorrow. So that, I mean,
that might be his opening.
That's maybe. Yeah, you might be right. But they have to get him into the rotation somehow because if the end game is not having Dion Waiters on this roster, it's not going to happen by sitting him on right. the bench and hoping somebody comes calling because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, you're right. In other words, if they're trying to give him some semblance of trade value, it's going to come by integrating him in the squad. Mm-hmm. And I am looking forward to hearing how Ira expects it to happen, i.e. how quickly and seamlessly he expects it to happen. But I think as far as NBA teams where I could trust they have the strength in the locker room, the strength of culture, and the strength of coaching to find a way to reintegrate a guy who has raised some problems this year, and we've already seen guys in the locker room say that they have Dion's back and that it's all good and it's all harmony. I think more from a basketball standpoint, as far as whose minutes he's taking, I think is the tougher thing for Eric Spoelstra. But as far as the harmony and the culture of the team, I don't think it's going to be a big problem because I think the Heat have one of the strongest locker rooms in the NBA. And if there's anybody equipped for a situation like this, I think the Miami Heat are that team. And I am cautiously optimistic that this is going to go well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Heat will put themselves in a position to how they did the last few seasons with Hassan, where they were forced to play Hassan Whiteside. At the end of the day, they may just eat that contract.
And honestly, I think that the off-court problems that Dion Waiters creates versus what Hassan Whiteside created, I think it's apples to oranges because I think Hassan Whiteside was a much more negative presence mm-hmm. than Dion Waiters is. I mean, obviously, Dion has his issues, but I don't think Dion kind of injects the same amount of poutiness and negativity as Hassan Whiteside did. I don't see him as being a problem in the same way.
Yeah, and here's the thing too, right? Let's say for the season they did eat that and they didn't play him that much and he did ride the bench. Pat Riley was able to trade Hassan Whiteside at $17 million last year.
Yeah.
I don't see a reason why he couldn't trade Dion Waiters at $12 million. And Dion Waiters is a much more suitable player to the NBA in 2019 than Hassan Whiteside is, who can't hit a shot from past the free throw line. So,
by the way, I love watching the Portland fans how quickly they turn on Hassan Whiteside because they're
doesn't take an idiot to see what's going on there.
They loved him last time. They loved him the other day when he hit 10 blocks.
Can you guys answer a question for me real quick? We got to get to a break here.
Yeah.
How the bleep was Carmelo Anthony named the NBA's Western Conference Player of the Week?
Because they won three games last week.
I don't care. He averaged 19.5 points a game. James Harden just had 60 points in 30 minutes. No.
Carmelo's a nice story.
Wait, James Harden almost had more points than Carmelo Anthony did the entire week in one game.
I get it. That game was what, Saturday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That counts as last
Rockets
week.
Might have lost also sometime this week during that week.
Bro, you tell me a guy averaging 19.5 points –
He had 23 and 7.
23. You know how many players had 20? Are you watching what Luka Doncic is doing?
Luka Doncic, now that's a story. Like, that dude is.
How is Carmelo Anthony the player of the week?
No hating on Melo, man.
Listen, I'm so happy that he got an opportunity. Yeah. I thought if you remember our conversations in the summer, I thought he should have got an opportunity with Team USA, but NBA player of the week.
No hate on Melo.
Why is that hate?
Don't hate on Melo.
19.5 points.
Portland went 3-0.
19. Yeah. Also, Damian Lillard came back.
And he
all credit to Melo.
All credit to Melo.
I went flat on this one. I'm not even a Melo guy, but I'm just happy for him that he's getting an opportunity and making the most of it.
That's exactly it.
James Harden averaged 47 points.
He's like watching paint dry. That James Harden.
James Harden does
Melo.
That all the time. He does it every week.
Oh yeah, he averages 47 a week.
He does. Well, he scores all the time.
Wait, hold on. He averages 47 points a week.
He scores all the time.
I get you, but 47?
He's averaging 39, so he went 8 points higher than the.
Yeah, that's impressive, bro.
I don't care. The guy hasn't played in a year and a half.
I don't care.
He might win player of the month, but let Melo have player of the week.
Yeah, why? MVP. MVP. Let's give him the MVP. Why don't we, like we did to Derrick Rose in 2011, the dumbest MVP we've ever had.
Gosh. Oh, my God.
Your blood pressure's going up, like as you sit there.
And I like Carmelo, and this is absolutely nothing to do against Carmelo because he didn't do anything wrong. He's accepting an award. What are the people voting for the award thinking here?
And Carmelo brings people together. Like I love how like his ex-wife was at the game, like FaceTiming with his kid while he was out.
He's bringing
people together. There's a estranged wife. Yes, they might get back together. Carmelo might even be able to repair his fractured marriage. He's playing so well.
He could. I mean, wifey's coming to the game to make sure that, you know, the son is FaceTime and seeing how his dad's playing. Yeah.
By the way, what constitutes the week? Like, is it Saturday to Saturday, Sunday to Sunday? Like, what is it?
I think it's Sunday to Saturday.
I think it would be Sunday to Saturday.
Okay. All right. Melo shot.
Don't worry about Melo's shooting percent. That's not where you want to start.
You don't want
this.
Me to go there?
Don't worry about that.
I don't think you should do shooting percentage.
He had a whole 8 assists last week.
So what?
Luka Doncic has that in a quarter.
That is true.
So does LeBron. And?
But LeBron's not putting up Luka Doncic.
LeBron's too afraid to take big shots.
The Lakers were on a 10-game winning streak until yesterday.
Yeah. He's not putting up Luka Doncic numbers.
What are you talking about? LeBron's putting up great numbers.
But he's not putting up Luka Doncic numbers.
Hold on. But here's the thing. Player of the week, the team has to do very well also. He has to be able to lead the team while the team went 3-0 or how many games they played that week. He has to be a contributing factor. So if the Rockets lost and he, you know, Harden put 60, that's great. I know the Mavs lost last week. I know that. So therefore, Portland won 3 in a row last week. Key contributor was Melo.
We got to get to break because we got Iron coming
up. You just can't give Melo any satisfaction.
No love for Melo.
No love.
I love Melo. I don't agree with that award at all.
Oh, my God. It's only a week.
Let's ask Ira Winderman about it next year on 790 The Ticket. Hey, back here on 790 The Ticket, Zach Duarte, Alex Donald. I am dressed for the club.
Are you?
I am. I got my Calvin Klein shirt on. I got my new pants on Black Friday.
Okay.
$20 at Target.
I really missed out on the whole Black Friday thing this year.
Come on,
I didn't go. I didn't go anywhere.
I just went to Target. That was it. So many
did they have some good sales there?
You know, I got like towels for $5, stuff, you know, stupid things that a guy gets once a year. So
it's weird because like the only
and yes, I made my female friend come and help me.
Okay, I love very mysterious how you say female friend. Well, like, what kind of a relationship is this?
I mean, no comment. I have lots of relationships.
Special lady
wow.
friend?
Wow.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
That's headlines.
Probably.
Speaking of WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
By the way, one side note, Hurricanes have a basketball game tonight.
That's right.
They play the Illinois Fighting Illini. You can hear that on our sister station, 560 The Joe, WQAM, in about 35 seconds. So. But let's go out now to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest lines. They are truly steps beyond convenient. Covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Now, Ira, I know you're on the road, but is your family safe from the state of emergency in Broward County?
Yeah, it was funny. I spoke to my wife, and the temperatures, I heard dipping around the below 50 mark or whatever. So I heard people are just running in the streets like a zombie apocalypse.
Yes, like there is looting on the street corners, and I was telling everybody there's no school tomorrow. Stay inside and make sure you stay warm because it is.
See, I hate when you do that because there's probably some parents driving around who hear that and they're getting their hopes up. Or actually, no, not getting their hopes up because when the kids don't go to school, that's a problem for the parents.
The exact opposite. Yeah. You'll learn that, Dono. Dono, you'll learn that soon enough. No, I believe also the law, I checked this, the Florida statutes. If the temperature ever gets in the 30, it triggers the purge.
That's funny. That's a good one. Ira, you just posted a story a little less than an hour ago that Goran Dragic is going to miss tomorrow night's game in Toronto due to a groin injury. The only point I could think of, and actually Dono brought this up, is that this is an opportunity to integrate Dion Waiters potentially.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was listening to you guys. We get radio.com up here in Toronto, and I was almost smiling for this reason. Yes, thank you. Yes, you can totally look at it as and say to yourself, Goran is out. You move Dion back in. He gets the minutes. Guys, I would not be shocked, and I know how weird it is to say this, if Daryl Macon is activated instead of Dion. I think it'll be very interesting. In other words, why bring Daryl Macon back from the G League on his two-way contract when you have Dion Waiters back, when you have Derek Jones Jr. back, when you didn't know if Goran was going to miss time? So I think it's going to be – I think Eric Spoelstra is going to play it sort of very interesting tomorrow until we find out the inactive list, which they have to announce an hour before the game. You know, I heard you guys talking about that. You know, you have to at some point decide to bring Dion back. And one of the points you guys made is even to increase his trade value. One, I don't know how much Dion would increase his trade value after everything he's been through. I don't know who wants to take on that kind of headache. And, Zach, I heard you talking about, well, if you could trade Hassan Whiteside, you can trade anyone. But keep in mind, in order to unload Hassan Whiteside, they had to give up a first-round draft choice in that three-team trade with the Clippers. So at what cost do you want to get rid of Dion? Do you want to get rid of that contract at the cost of another first-round pick? Do you want to get rid of that contract at the cost of Justice Winslow, at the cost of Derek Jones Jr.? So I don't think showcasing is part of the Dion equation. I think they'll either play him because they believe he can still do something for this team, and I still think there's a chance they just may never play him.
Yeah. Well, and on that note, if they do decide to play him because he can do something for this team, whose minutes get sacrificed because of that? Because we can talk about the personal side of this, but there's also a basketball side of this with Dion.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's minutes get sacrificed because let's have everyone healthy for a second like they were on Sunday in Brooklyn. You know Dion is not taking the minutes of Jimmy Butler or any of them. That's a given. I would think the way this season is going, he's not taking Goran Dragic's minutes except maybe when he's injured. And here's the other thing. Even if Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero go into slumps, which I think we both agree is possible for rookies, isn't part of the development of Nunn and Hero to allow them to play through that, to see how they deal with adversity? So in other words, if Kendrick Nunn or Tyler Hero maybe have a three-game stretch where they're, say, 9 of 35 in the field, I'm just tossing numbers out there, that might be a case where maybe you would say a veteran loses a job. But, guys, isn't it important to see how they bounce back, how they handle that, how they deal with NBA adversity? So, basically, I don't see a path for Dion between Jimmy and Goran and Kendrick and Tyler, really, unless two of them go down to injury.
Talking to Ira Winderman here, covers the Miami Heat for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Ira, we saw the Heat last Saturday struggle against the Philadelphia 76ers. Then a couple nights later, although I know the team has been dealing with a team illness, struggle against the Houston Rockets, that conversation starts to creep in, and I think the next 2 days will give us a little bit of a better idea as to where this conversation is headed. But, you know, obviously it's great that the Heat are taking care of business, winning home games, beating the teams they should. But the last few games against some of the upper echelon teams in the NBA, they haven't really held their own. We can go all the way back to Denver. We can go back to the Lakers. I know at the beginning of the season they beat Milwaukee. But against the top teams in the NBA, the Heat right now seem to be struggling. And is that just a product maybe of – hey, you know, some of these guys are still getting to learn each other, or is it because the Heat just maybe they don't have that second alpha dog?
Yeah, I think that's who they are. I think the Heat, if you sort of have 30 teams in the NBA, I think the Heat are in that middle tier toward the top of the middle third of the NBA. So, no, I don't expect them to finish ahead of Milwaukee, Philadelphia, or probably the way Toronto is playing, getting Kyle Lowry back pretty soon. Maybe they'll be battling Boston. I wouldn't use Wednesday as a litmus test. It'll be a back-to-back coming off the Toronto Heat having to clear customs on the way back. That's going to be a very late night. But, yeah, I don't think the Heat are in the top four in the East. I think the top four in the East right now, to the Heat's perspective, are Milwaukee, Philadelphia, Toronto, and Boston. So the Heat's probably battling the Pacers for five or six. That's who they are. They still are that one player away. Can they get that one player this season? Can they make a move for a Kevin Love or a LaMarcus Aldridge? Or is Pat Riley going to slow play it more a little bit with the young kids also? That's what we have to see. So none of this is shocking to me. They're padding up, building up the victories against the bad teams, which they didn't do before.
Yeah.
And then they'll sneak in a Milwaukee victory. They'll sneak in a Houston victory. That gets you to 50 wins, and that would be a heck of a improvement from a 39-win season a year ago.
Well, and with that said, as we're approaching the quarter point of the season, they have 14 wins out of 19 tries. Have they overachieved your expectations a bit? Because they have taken care of business, like Zach said, or is this about where you thought they'd be record-wise at this point?
No, I think they've overachieved because there's two things they've turned around. Usually expect them to do one major turnaround. They have completely turned around the home court. American Airlines Arena is a pit again. They made it a place of pride. That's number one. And number two, they're winning the games they should be winning. No more of those constant losses to the Orlandos and the New Yorks and the Atlantas and teams like that. So that has been encouraging and has been a stride. Hey, I got to tell you guys, if you can go from 39 to, say, 51, and you make that 12-game jump this year and say to yourself, we only got to make another 5 or 6-game jump, and then we're among the elite, you could be on a nice path. Do they have the patience? Does Pat Riley have the patience? Will they wait for 2021 to make one more move, burning two seasons of Jimmy Butler's four-year, $142 million contract? Or will they want to do it sooner? That's going to be the interesting part of the equation.
Ira, the NBA Weekly Awards were announced. Carmelo Anthony, NBA Player of the Week out West, despite James Harden scoring almost as many points as he did the entire week in one game in 30 minutes. Any thoughts as to the Carmelo Anthony Player of the Week in the Western Conference?
It's first of all, you know, we always ask the league, who picks Player of the Week? And basically, the PR staff gets together, they just pick a name. There's no voting. There's no 15-team vote. Teams, what they do is they submit the names of players to the league's PR office. They get together, they basically name a name. This was all for publicity. If James Harden was named Player of the Week, people would go, big deal, it's one of 40 weeks during the season, let's move on. It's just Player of the Week. There's one in each conference. Giannis Antetokounmpo got it in the East. The NBA created news. They knew what they were doing. And you know what this reminds me of what happened today with Carmelo getting named this? This is what the NFL can't do. By the NBA doing this, no one's talking about Carmelo being blackballed anymore, right? We've moved forward. We moved off of it. The NFL can't move off of the Colin Kaepernick thing. That still remains front and square because of that. So I think this was very calculated by the NBA. James Harden had 60 points on like 7 shots from the field. I mean, he had one of the greatest, most efficient games in NBA history. This was calculated by the NBA. Now, no one's talking about how Carmelo was blackballed for 2 seasons and you just move forward.
What's been what team has been your biggest surprise in the league to this point, positive or negative?
Well, you know what? Look, the Lakers are really good, but they were so bad last year that, of course, just with Anthony Davis, you'd figure they'd be better. But that Frank Vogel is getting the respect to the point that today he was named Western Conference Coach of the Month, maybe that will work. Maybe Jason Kidd can settle for just being an assistant coach. So I think on the top end, I think that's a surprise for me. And then you look at the other side, and I just have a hard time looking at the San Antonio Spurs, who I still think have some quality players, DeRozan, LaMarcus Aldridge, DeJounte Murray. They have good players there. And the way they're falling off the face of the earth, I find that surprising. To me, the biggest story from this point this year to this point next year will be this. I believe a year from now, the Golden State Warriors are going to be the leading team in the West again, because they're going to get back Steph Curry. They're going to get back Klay Thompson. They're going to have a healthy Draymond Green. They might have the top pick in the draft, and they're going to get another quality free agent. To me, that's going to mirror what happened to the San Antonio Spurs when David Robinson missed a season. They got Tim Duncan, and they never missed a beat. So I think the surprise right now for how bad they are is the Spurs. I think the Warriors, it's almost calculated. I think they're going to be fine. This is just a one-off.
Ira, can you please suit up in goaltender for the Panthers? Please. Please.
Why? I thought the kid who came up was terrific. I know.
Looks good.
And here's the whole thing. I know that the kid came up. He was playing in Springfield. It was his first NHL start. We can't put too much into it. But let's face it, Zach. If Bobrovsky's not going to come around, there's nothing else there for them. They put everything into that. That has to work. Whether he just has a great playoff run, whether he pulls it together over the second half of the season, there's no plan B there. You can move your lines around. You can move Hoffman up to the first line. You can switch your defensemen. There is no team has a plan B in goal. They might have the Reimer or a guy who gets hot for a little. If Bobrovsky isn't the ultimate stopper for this team, that's where it all goes south. There's never a plan B for your number one goaltender. He has to get better. They have to make it work with him.
I just want you to know, let your family know that it is cold enough that iguanas will be falling from the trees tonight.
But will they be dead or just frozen and inert and then to thaw out and continue to eat our pipes and our foundations?
I think that's what happened. I think they freeze, but then as soon as the sun comes out, they're back.
Yeah, it's like when it gets warm.
So if you see them, this is the perfect time to grill them, because I believe the Sun Sentinel did run a story that they taste like chicken.
No, Ira.
I saw that last year.
Ira, no. Go back to Canada. That's where you are right now, right? You're in Canada?
Yeah, but Zach, just for you, I'm going to make a little mojo iguana and tell you what it's like.
Oh, man, go away.
Ira's the best.
Oh, you can follow Ira on Twitter, at Ira Winderman, or Ira Heatbeat, I should say, and check out
Ira
his work.
Heatbeat,
yeah, Ira Heatbeat. I was like, what is your Twitter again? I'm going off by the top of my head.
Yes.
Ira Heatbeat.
Oh, only 32 years, exactly.
Yeah. Nothing's changed in 32 years for you. Does a lot of good work covering the Miami Heat for the Sun Sentinel. You can check out his work either on sunsentinel.com or Ira Heatbeat on Twitter. Ira, thank you so much, and stay warm, my friend, just as we will with our scarves
and parkas. I'm going to get back to my French fries and gravy. Thank you, guys.
All right, thank you, Ira. Appreciate it.
I love how we're telling a guy who's in Canada right now about how it's dipping to 49. Like, he probably wants to fly back down here, punch us both in the face, then fly back to Canada.
Yeah, I mean, it's. Have you heard about these like storms going on around the country?
Honestly, I have not. Like,
oh,
snow
yeah,
storms?
Like, yeah, like
blizzards?
This is a really bad.
Oh,
like,
well,
storm.
That happened at what
oh,
was
yeah,
it?
A lot when, of flight delays.
Yeah,
which is like this is when everyone's trying to travel back from Thanksgiving.
That's
so
rough,
it is
man.
Throwing a giant wrinkle in everybody's
which
plan.
Which means like if you you could be on either side of it. Like if your annoying ass relatives were visiting you, they're stuck with you. They can't go home.
Correct.
Or if you're back where they came from, you're relishing this time where they can't get back to you.
Listen, so I do want to pick your brain about this because it's not often I get to do Florida Panthers talk, but you do what, the pregame?
Yeah,
and the
pregame, intermissions, postgame.
So, like, I really can't get a pulse on this Panthers team, and I know, like, you know, not a lot of people want to do Panthers talk, but I feel like we've kind of just touched on every subject, and we got to get out of here in 10 minutes, and I can't do Panthers talk with a lot of other people because, with all due respect, not a lot of people really pay attention to the Panthers.
Yeah.
But this team right now, through what 26 games, 13-8-5. I look at that as 13-13. They lost 13 games. They won 13 games.
True, but for the games, the ones you lose in overtime or shootout, at least you get a point.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay.
Hey, listen, but those points are how many times have my Panthers missed the playoffs by 2 or 3 points? Like, believe me, I have learned over the years that every point is important. I think the most important thing to look at right now, they had a really good start to their year through, you know, most of November. They are right now second place in the Atlantic Division.
Yeah,
so
but it's the weakest division of all of them. It's got the Boston Bruins
who are way on top,
right? And then everybody.
Sure, I get it. But you can only rate based on playoff position. And the way that I look at it is, if they can find more consistency in goal, then I think this team is going to be fine because these guys have ability to score, right? I mean, from Barkov to Hoffman to Dadonov, these guys can score goals. Huberto, I'm really only worried, and it's the same problem that they've had for the last few years when Luongo was around and he was getting long in the tooth. If they can find that consistency in net, and yeah, I heard you and Ira, of course, talking about Bobrovsky. You know, obviously I'm watching Bob more closely this year as a Panther than I did when he was in Columbus and so on, but I have seen how dominant that guy can get when he gets hot. I've seen how dominant all the shutouts he can put up, he's capable of putting up. I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. Now, usually his worst time in a season is the early time, October into early November. Now, we're in December now, but usually Bob is a guy who kind of grows into a season. So I think I need to get way past the first week of December where I start to get worried. And if the season ended today, they are a playoff team.
I get it, but almost every metric I look at tells me they're a 500 team. Like, they've won 13 games.
Yeah.
They've lost 13 games. Their goal differential is +1. You know, their home record is 7-5. Their road record is 6-8. 2 games above 500 at home, 2 games under 500 on the road. And 6-4 in the last 10. Like, obviously it's not 5-5, but close enough, right?
Yeah.
So, and like, you know, I'm trying to get excited because, God, have we been dying for a good hockey team down here. And I think it was, 2016? Or 2015 when they had a really fun season.
Yeah, 2016 when they went
to the
playoffs.
And they lost in the first round with that terrible non-tripping call. And what was that, game 3?
I'm glad you're still angry about the way that I am because Trocheck was tripped. I know it's been like 4 years, but I still shout it from the mountaintops. Trocheck was tripped.
I am as casual as a hockey fan. Like, I follow it. You know, I don't sit there and watch the game, but I'll follow it and I'll keep up with it. And I did watch that game and I'm like, bro, I could be blind and call that tripping. Like, I know that's tripping. Like, from the way that he hit the ice, that's tripping.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Dude, that's a freaking penalty, man.
It still bothers me to this day. Yeah.
Also, that guy Tavares, freaking killer, man.
John Tavares, yeah, who's with the Maple Leafs now. But okay, so you've been following Panthers hockey long enough that you know that oftentimes the Panthers are usually so far out of playoff position by Thanksgiving that they're playing catch-up the rest of the way. So I am grateful that after Thanksgiving, they're still in a playoff spot and in the playoff hunt. And you know what? I brought up their goal scoring and the fact that I expect the goaltending to become more consistent. Let me bring up something else, Zach, because the difference between this Panthers team as opposed to Panthers teams as long as I've been on the broadcast going back to 2014, the caliber of head coaching is night and day because you've got now a guy who's won Stanley Cups, who's, you know, if you're looking for a comparison to another sport, Joel Quenneville is practically the Bill Belichick of hockey as far as modern equivalents go. And that's the guy you've got, you know, on your bench. It's different to have a guy like him versus having a guy like Bob Bugner. No disrespect intended, but that was a first-time head coach when you brought him in. So I look at the Joel Quenneville factor, and, you know, I see the way that this team has responded to some of their tough losses and the way he treats it, the way he makes these guys do some extra skating, some extra work in practice after a tough game and bouncing back positively. I'm feeling fine about Panthers hockey right now, completely being honest. And you may think I'm biased because I'm a Panthers fan, but I feel differently about this team than I have about the team over the past few years.
And look, I get it. Like, somebody texts in, stop being so negative. They're basically a top 10 team by most power rankings. No, they're not. Like, they're not. They're 500. They have won 13 games. They've lost 13 games. It's a 500 team. I know they're second place in the division, but you look at second place in every other division, and they have 3, 5, 6 more points than the Panthers.
You're devaluing those overtime points, though. Listen, the overtime and the shootout losses.
Yeah, but we can go back to any Panther season where they didn't make the playoffs, and they were like top 10 in the league in overtime losses.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Random year, 2016, 2017, Panthers, 11 overtime losses. Okay, like, they it's a loss, man. Like, I know you get the point, but it's a loss.
Well,
you need the two. You need the two. In hockey, you need the two, okay? Well, let's say you win half your games, 41 games. It's only 82 points. That's not even close to the playoffs, man.
Well, let me say, because when they had that stretch where I think within three or four games they had the two victories where they came back from four goal deficits, that's both a great thing and a concerning thing because you don't want to put yourself in that situation too often. But I was on the broadcast when they came back four down starting in the third period and beat the Boston Bruins, who are the class of that division, the team that has, what, like 12 more points than anyone else in the Atlantic Division. They came back and beat that team on the road in Boston in the shootout, and that goes to show you the resilience of that Panthers team. You don't want to put yourself in that situation too often where you're three, four goals down heading into the third period, but the fact that they can actually come back from that against, you know, the best team in the division and win the game, to me, it's an encouraging sign. I think this team has some stuff to be special. Now, I don't think that the Panthers will be contending truly for a Stanley Cup this year, but I think they could be a second-round playoff type of team where they could win a playoff series for the first time in God knows how long. I think you have to go back. I think it was the 96 run was the last time they actually did that. I think you have to go back.
They haven't won a playoff series in 20 years.
In forever. So I think that this is the year where you can expect something like that, but I still think they're probably a couple years away from being a true threat for the Stanley Cup.
Like let's just project out, right? Through 26 mm-hmm. games, the Panthers are 13-8-5. So if they were to play 82 games, they would have 41 wins, and they would have a combination of 41 losses, whether
right.
it's 30 wins and 11 overtime losses. Do the points math there. That's 93 points. It's not enough to make the playoffs.
I think 93 points does make the
I looked at last year.
Well, what's the magic number?
Hold on, I think
the magic number is right around 93.
I looked last year.
Yeah.
The second wild card team had 98 points.
Okay, that high. Okay, okay.
We go back to 2017, 2018. You look at the wild card, 97 points.
All right, so we need to be.
You got to get around 100.
We need to be around 100.
You got to get around 100.
We need to be around
100. And you're a wild card team / third place in your division team because hockey does the playoffs really weird.
You, just wait until Bobrovsky gets hot and he's got three shutouts in a row. It's going to happen.
You
got to
get 45 wins.
Have a little faith, dude.
You got to get 45 wins.
I think they can get it.
They're 500 right now.
I think they can get it.
Top 10. Top 10 by what metric? By the metric in your own head?
Do you want to make a bet?
No.
I love the confidence. Oh, man.
Because I want the team to win. I'm rooting for them. I'm just like,
no,
hey.
I know you. I know you're rooting for them.
Hey,
well, okay.
Come on, man.
Well, okay. Well, am I right in diagnosing this, that you've been through enough disappointment following this team over the years?
I'm the jadedest fan that ever existed.
I get it. And I get it. I get it. Because
is that even a word? Jadedest?
You've christened it as a word. It is now officially a word.
You've just been jaded. You don't have to add an ist.
We just made up a word here, the Double D Show. Jadedist.
But I've heard from enough people who casually follow the team, and they'll say, you know, after a tough loss, and they've had a few of those this year, that, okay, why am I to believe that this is truly any different than the last few years? I mean, the Panthers have had a core of players that for three or so years, I kept calling it the young core. They're not young anymore. They're coming of age now where you can see a guy like Sasha Barkov, who is really blossoming into one of the best top-line centermen in the National Hockey League, and some of the complementary pieces around where that young core is blossoming into a core that's finally ready to start winning. And the fact that they have, I believe, the right head coach to harness those abilities and come up with a system, obviously, I've been burned enough times by that team that there still is the element of concern in the back of my mind. But I think come late April, you and I will be watching some playoff hockey together.
I mean, let's hope for playoff hockey, playoff basketball, and number one pick.
I don't think we'll get the number one pick, but
you
know, I think we'll get the other two.
You call me a Debbie Downer, and here you are, just poo-pooing my April plans.
We're
man.
Talking about a fourth or a fifth overall pick.
We got like 30 seconds here, but I was hoping the Dolphins get the number one pick so the station would send me out to Vegas, damn it.
I know. Wouldn't
they're not
going
to send me out there
nice?
With the fifth overall pick.
You got to go to Vegas.
You pay your own way, and then you win it back at the tables.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
Okay. I'll win it back at the strip clubs where I'll win it back. I'll do some
How's that going to work?
I'll do some strange for some change. You know what I'm talking about? All right, man, that's going to do it for us. Dono, where can they find you on Twitter?
At Alex Dono.
And I'm at 790 Zach Vlad Louisant. Great job by you. Coming up next, Monday Night Football, Seahawks and Vikings.
Good one.
Won't be back on the air till Thursday. Got heat tomorrow and Wednesday. See you later.